So we are talking about the machlokes of Yehuda and Rav Nachman about if a person says he'll ban himself and sleep tomorrow if he sleeps today, just the opposite, I'm sorry. If he bans himself and sleep today if he sleeps tomorrow, so do we trust him not to sleep tomorrow and let him sleep today, or do we tell him don't sleep today because we don't trust you for sleeping tomorrow? Which means, machlokes, put it in Gemara terms, is a person careful in the Tanai, or is a person not careful in the Tanai? That's what the Gemara had in machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman. We are trying to prove that machlokes. We will continue to try to prove it now. We are in Tezvav and Aleph, and we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines at the bottom, beginning at a line.
What is the answer, first answer?
If he slept. If he slept, to be on the first, not that he's allowed to, if he did. We tell him not to sleep, but that doesn't mean he listens.
There's no problem.
What's the problem? If he slept, he'll be over by Yahoo the next day.
If he sleeps the next day.
No, yeah, that's what we're saying. Okay, so I think my right to talk. Shatnanis Liyala Pesach, Im Tauchi Levei Savicha Arachak. That person tells his wife, you're banned from me. Sorry? I think so. Yeah. You're banned from having pleasure from me till Pesach if you go to your father's house till Sukkot. I mean, he's standing Chanukah time, and he tells his wife, I don't want you going to your father's house. And I'm banning you pleasure till Pesach if you end up going till Sukkot. That means the condition extends 6 months longer than the ban. The ban is till Pesach, and the condition is till Sukkot, which means even if she has pleasure till Pesach, she better not go till Sukkot, because then retroactively she will have violated the issue of having pleasure from him. It's the same as the case of Rav Nachman Rav Yehuda, where the condition extends beyond the time of the issue. And seemingly, it seems to be dependent on whether we trust people to keep a condition or not. But let's listen to what the Bright Mishnah says. Ochel lefnei Pesach, if she goes before Pesach, then she can't have pleasure from him because she went before Pesach. So she triggered the Isser as soon as she went, meaning she... And therefore, she better not have Hanoah until Pesach. Now the Diyak is, Hochel lefnei HaPesach Asura Loi Hochel Loi. It seems that it's saying, if she went before Pesach, she becomes Asur. But if she didn't go to before Pesach, we let her have pleasure. Meaning, we are not banning her from pleasure today. We're not saying, don't you have pleasure till Pesach because you might go after Pesach. We're not saying that. We're saying, if she doesn't go, she's not Asur. That means we rely on her to keep the condition, even though the condition is beyond the time of the Isser. The Mishnah's Diyak seems to say that she doesn't become Asur today till she goes, meaning we trust her not to go. I'm sorry. She becomes Asur retroactively. We don't tell her, don't have pleasure. We rely on her to keep condition, because the Mishnah just says, if she violated it, she becomes Asur. Mashma, if she violated it, she becomes Asur. But if she didn't violate it, we let her have pleasure. Even though she might, according to Yehuda, she won't keep her condition, how can we rely on her to keep her condition after Pesach? So again, Hochel lefnei Pesach Asura b'Nasa Pesach. Hochel lefnei Pesach Asura loy Hochel loy. It doesn't say this woman should not have pleasure till Pesach because we don't trust her. According to Yehuda, the Mishnah should say no pleasure, because this pleasure depends on future condition, and we don't trust people to keep condition. Yes.
So in terms of talk, let's say that the rather reprobate husband says this to his wife, Purim. And they have Purim, she has benefit for him. And then the day after, which was much to her at the time, and then the day after that, she goes to a father's house.
So she's retroactively Usher.
What is the difference between that and going after Pesach? Because this was, the ban was put until Sukkot.
There is no difference.
Okay, that makes sense. How is this different from the question I asked you last week? Can one make a previously permitted activity forbidden retroactively?
So the answer is yes. I said yes.
I remember very well.
Again, I don't remember the exact case you gave me, but this case says, and we had it before, person right. says, I won't sleep today if I sleep tomorrow. If he sleeps tomorrow, retroactively, he violated his nether. We just had that last week. I can't believe that I said the opposite.
The thing which is sitting here is I don't understand the difference. Why it's specifying before Pesach, right? Unless I'm understanding what's in front of me. It is early. That if you want to say that the Isser occurred in an inchoate state at the time that was said on Purim and only kicks in later.
No, that's not what it's saying. I understand your question. It should just say Holkos. Teretz is, all this Mishnah is telling us is that till she goes, she can have pleasure. If she goes, it'll be retroactively Isser. But we don't ban pleasure now. That's what it's saying. This
okay,
way.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
So that's all the Mishnah is saying.
But then what is this about if she goes before Pesach?
If she, meaning she's not Isser now, the day after Purim she can have pleasure. The day after that she can have pleasure.
Right.
But so she can have pleasure if she goes. Now, let me explain the difference. Let me just try to explain it once. If we want to tell her you can't have pleasure, we cannot tell her that. We can tell her if you have pleasure, you'll be violating retroactively. Mishnah's not interested in retroactivity. The Mishnah's trying to say that till she has pleasure, I'm sorry, till she goes, she can have pleasure. That's what the Mishnah's saying. So when does she become banned in pleasure? If she goes now, she can't have pleasure till Pesach. If she goes after Pesach, it's not going to affect her pleasure. It'll affect her Isser. Not good for Aseret to make tshuva. One second. Not good for Aseret to make tshuva. But it doesn't affect the Isser of pleasure. She already had it. The Isser of pleasure kicks in practically when she goes before Pesach. She goes after Pesach. It's retroactively Isser. But it doesn't affect her practical behavior. She did it already. Over.
So in terms of the Isser, I'll just say it's not tough. The actual eating of the matzah or whatever on Pesach, whatever it is she had from her husband, that's done, obviously.
Right.
Its status was mater. It turns into Isser because she goes to visit her father before Sukkot.
Correct.
As such, you have created a change in state.
Again, we went through this. I'm not going to spend the time on it. Yes, you can do that retroactively. That's the answer. Yes, Buck Leish.
Yes, I just wanted to. So, any pleasure that she got before,
retroactively. See, everybody seems to be struggling with the same thing. Can you retroactively make something an Isser? Yes. I'll give you a simple case. A woman gets a get on the condition that she gives $300 somewhere. We tell her not to get married, by the way. Not a good idea. But let's say she gets married, and then later on, whatever the time period was to give the $300, she did not keep it. That means the get became invalid. That means she was an Aseret Ish when she was Mezava. What? We don't do it today, but in the Gemara's time, there's a whole sugya in Gittin. We spend 10 blot on conditions in Gittin. Amar Ababa. Emphasis the Gemara, Amar Ababa. Hochel of Nea Pesach Asura Veleika. Laya Hochel Asura Bepe Alma. When she goes before Pesach, she will get Malkus for the pleasure. Because if she continues having pleasure, if she doesn't go before Pesach and goes after Pesach, she'll get an Isser, let me explain. If she doesn't go before Pesach, we advise her don't go. You're Usher to go because you might not keep your condition. But we're not going to give her Malkus. Let me explain. This lady is legally allowed to have pleasure. Rabbi Yehuda imposed an issur on her because he's afraid she won't keep her condition. That issur that Rabbi Yehuda imposed doesn't come with Malkus. It's that we tell her don't have pleasure because you're playing with fire. But it's not fire yet. So when the bride's Mishnah says she's asura b'hanah ad Pesach, the Mishnah is trying to tell me that at that point it's already usher. She went. And at that point she would get Malkus. If she doesn't go before Pesach and she has pleasure, she hasn't violated a law of Layachol. If she goes after Pesach, she'll retroactively violate it. The Mishnah never says she's allowed to have pleasure. All the Mishnah is saying is there won't be Malkus now for having pleasure unless she already went. If she didn't go, we'll tell her don't have pleasure because you might go after Pesach. But we're not going to give her Malkus if she has pleasure. She didn't violate a law yet.
The initial thing with that is just a little bit of a contradiction, right? Because we allow her to eat.
Who said?
We allow her to have pleasure.
Who said that?
The Gemara said that.
The Gemara made a diak in the Mishnah.
Okay.
Because the Mishnah seemed to say she's allowed to have pleasure because the Mishnah said she only becomes banned if she goes.
Okay.
That means we trust her. That's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara means not that she's allowed to have pleasure, but the pleasure she has won't get her Malkus unless she went. It's a different degree of Isser. The Mishnah did not mean to infer that she could have pleasure. The Mishnah meant to infer that the pleasure won't result in Malkus. Because she hasn't gone yet.
Was the
Malkus
of the previous pleasure?
Yes. Now, Asura something was Avram's question. We didn't get involved with that.
The Asura B'Yalma is for not listening to the Rabbanan?
It's usher to have pleasure because Rabbanan tell you don't have pleasure. You're violating a rabbinic isser of not...
Of an etzer.
But it's more than an etzer. Rabbi Yehuda holds his usher to do it. Not just a nice advice, either keep it or don't. We are ushering you because we are not relying on you keeping conditions.
It's not nothing concrete.
I don't know what that means. Okay.
She's not getting asura because she's not listening to the rabbi. That's all.
Correct. Dr. Rashim talking about Sabicha Lachagav Loyokaloy Asira. She didn't go, she's not usher. Lechashina Shamate Lechacha Pesach. I'm a Mizdar, but no. Dr. Rush writes, Jehocha Asura Banasa Veleika, Shulav de Bayacho, Im Tehenna Mishaloi. Rachman Amar, the Torah said, Ishki Yidon Nedel Layacho Dvaroi, La Yizbatlu Dvarov, he shouldn't be Mavatlu his words. Masha Asir Benedr Chal Olof Isra Bayacho, Kilu Higdishai, it's as if he donated it to Hegdish, meaning the Rush is explaining Layacho, that the Torah considers Layacho as if he made something Hegdish and then used it. The Rush is trying to teach me something here that's going to be a major machlokes rishonim that we're going to speak about later in the Masechta. Ruvain banned Shimon to have pleasure from him. Shimon has pleasure. Who violates breaking his word? Shimon never made a word. Shimon never said anything. Shimon's not breaking any word. Reuven banned Shimon from having pleasure from his sitter. Shimon went and used the sitter. Who's Eivor Bayachol? See, if a person bans himself from pleasure and then he has pleasure, he broke his own word. But if he bans somebody else from pleasure and that person has pleasure, who's Eivor Bayachol? From your item. We've had the whole Masechta of the Dor talked about banning other people for pleasure from his item. One second. So who's going to be over the Isser of Bayachol? Who's going to get Malkus? The man told the lady, you can't have pleasure from me till Pesach. Forget about the condition now. We're not in the condition. She went and had pleasure. The Mishnah, Asura, and we're explaining that Asura Veloika. She gets Malkus. Why is she getting Malkus? What'd she do? She broke her word? The law is Layachol Dvarai. Zok the Rush. Layachol Dvarai is like Hegdish. Just like if I make an item Hegdish, if anybody has pleasure from it, they get Malkus, even though they didn't say a word. The Torah is saying, your word makes the item to that person like Hegdish, and they're over that lav because they're breaking your word, which was effective. That's the Rosh is saying. It's a big kiddush because it's a big machlekes shenem. The Rosh is saying, if you make something asur to your friend and he uses it, the Torah gave you a right to ban it as if you're making it hegdish. You make something hegdish, nobody questions that whoever uses it is going to violate hegdish, mila behegdish. They didn't say it. The answer is it's a reality. It's hegdish. To this person, one second. To this person, the item you banned becomes like hegdish. The Torah expressed it by saying, don't break your word. Means he can't break your word. Let's read the Russian side. The person who breaks it violates Bal Yachol, even though he didn't say anything. We're expanding the meaning of Bal Yachol Dvarai. Not only don't you break your own word, but if you ban it on somebody else, it becomes as if it's his word. It has that same power. It's a very shver, you have to understand that it's not so simple, but that's what the rest is saying. And therefore, that person violates Bal Yachol. Yes, Harvey.
I don't quite understand the basics of this. According to this, you have to own the item outright that you are banning to another for your word, for him to be over on that, correct?
Correct.
You have to own it exclusively.
You have to own it.
Well, okay. I share a driveway with somebody.
Yes.
It's both of our driveway. It's actually owned in common. We are neighbors. He says to me, you will not use this driveway.
This is a major perek. It's a whole perek. The fifth perek on the Darim deals with partners who ban the use of the item of the partnership to the other partner. That's exactly
okay.
Discussion in the whole thing. But at this point, we're dealing with non-partners.
No, I understand. I'm just trying to get straight in my own mind why it is that you could just say something like that to me if the item is something that I would otherwise assume I could use. Like maybe he already gave me permission. It's his saw I'm borrowing, and he always lets me borrow. He said, everything in my shed you could use anytime you want, feel free. Then all of a sudden he points out the saw and says it. But I'm just trying to understand the very basics of this concept.
Right, so the concept is that when you own something, no matter what you gave permission for, but the bottom line is you own it, and now you've removed your permission. Just like I let him use my saw, and then I came back the next day and said, I want you to use my saw. So he no longer has permission.
How do you touch the words Lo Yachol?
This is the problem.
This is simple subshat. Lo Yachol.
Again, I just answered, I said, this is very problematic. I started off the conversation that way. Because you're saying that guy violated a word. He never said a word. That's the problem.
The person says that he touched it. Lo Yachel, do not profane his word.
That's what it's saying. Your word becomes his word because the tyrant gave you power to do it. It's hard. I started off the conversation that this is difficult.
I mean,
you're just pointing out what I pointed out.
It's more difficult than hegdish is more easy to understand, right?
Yes, because hegdish changed that the item doesn't belong to you anymore. Here the tyrant expressed it by word. That's what's bothering us. It's his, the Torah translated simply in our scroll, it did not profane your word. Your word sounds like the guy who spoke, not like the guy who didn't speak. There are Rishonim that say that you violate Lo Yachol if she has pleasure. But I don't want to get involved in that. Now it's played Ron.
So the Ron says that?
It's Machlek Rishonim, yes.
I understand this being changing. On the other hand, I'm not entirely sure why hegdish is used as the paradigm here. You could just simply say this about ownership per se, like Harvey was saying about this Tom ownership of any item, as was actually.
Because the power of neder is built on the concept, the way the Chazal understood, the power of you banning is built on the concept that you have the power to ban by hegdish. And there the Torah revealed that you can change things by word. You donate to Hegdish, it becomes Hegdish. Therefore, the Torah is the Darim is viewed as an expansion of that.
I understand. On the other hand, I have the power of buying something, of expanding something that someone's used by simply buying it and making it my property.
Again, the person who uses your item without your permission is not violating breaking a law of breaking words. You would not get malchus for that.
So since buying an item is done by transaction, whereas Hector's is done by words, that's why Hector's is the paradigm.
Good. Thank you. Aim a safer. Let us go to the safer. Achara Pesach, Baba Yahu Tavarai. If she goes after Pesach, she retroactively is over Bal Yaakov for having pleasure before Pesach. That means the Mishnah seems to say she's allowed to have pleasure. If not, why are we discussing that she's violating anything? If we're telling her she's forbidden, right? As the Gemara just answered, Rabbi Yehuda holds that she's forbidden. So the Mishnah shouldn't say if she goes after Pesach, she retroactively violated. She wasn't supposed to have pleasure. So even if she goes after Pesach, she didn't violate anything. If she listened to the Isser,
she didn't listen to
it. It didn't say that. And for the Gemara, and for the Gemara. Ela Pshita, this honey must be, we let her have pleasure. Alma Mesani. So we see that you could have pleasure. Uchufta, Rabbi Yehuda, Zakti Gemara, Kiktani Diyas honey. The Mishnah means, if she had pleasure and she ends up going after Pesach, not that she was allowed to do it again. The Gemara is concentrating on the fact that the Mishnah seems to imply that there was nothing wrong with the pleasure until she goes. And according to Yehuda, she was never allowed to have pleasure. So the Yehuda's answer is, the Mishnah is not recommending here. The Mishnah is dealing with post facto. If she had pleasure, since if she goes after Pesach, she will violate it retroactively. Mishnah does not want to imply that she was allowed to have pleasure. That's how we understood it. Sounds from the Mishnah, we didn't ban her from pleasure. She ends up going, it'll be retroactively answered. So that's not what the Mishnah means. She wasn't supposed to have pleasure. If she ends up going, if she did have pleasure, she'll be able retroactively. The Rebuta is saying that the Mishnah is not dealing with recommendation or Isuri Drabbanan. We're dealing with, if she did have pleasure, what are the consequences? Whereas we understood it originally, is that the Mishnah did not imply that she had, did anything wrong by having pleasure. And Rabbi Yehuda's answer is, you're right, the Mishnah didn't tell you that. The Mishnah is assuming that she didn't listen.
My original understanding was that she was not allowed?
That she was allowed to have pleasure. Because the Mishnah seems to say if she went, she violated retroactively. That's only if she had pleasure. So therefore we assume that she was allowed to have pleasure. The answer is, not that she was allowed to, she did it. She did it.
Does Rabbi Yehuda have to change the Mishnah for that?
Doesn't have to change the words. Doesn't have to change the words in the Mishnah. He's just saying, the Mishnah is talking about, she didn't listen to the Issur Rabbanan. There is no rush on this. What's bothering you?
That's what we understood. It's a condition. If she follows through on her condition, nothing. She didn't do anything wrong. If she doesn't follow that condition, then she has overrun it retroactively. That's not the way we're understanding it. That was that before or after?
Again. The Mishnah seems, if you learned the Mishnah, you didn't know anything, you would say, we let her have pleasure, but if she goes afterwards retroactively, she violated.
That's who, right.
If that's true, then Rebuta is wrong. We
right.
let her have pleasure.
Right.
Rebuta is saying, not we're letting her have pleasure. The Mishnah is saying, if she had pleasure, and then she went, she'll be over retroactively. The Mishnah is not dealing with the woman that listened to us. The Mishnah is dealing with the woman that didn't listen to us. That's what Rebuta is answering.
Didn't listen to us.
And she had pleasure.
But there's no issue if she keeps her
method. She is ushered. We don't trust her. That's what Behuda said. We ban her rabbinically because we don't trust her.
So no matter what she's ushered, she did an
Avera? She did an Avera rabbinically, but not gonna get Malkus for it.
Why is it? Doing?
We're not allowed to move Mukta. One of the reasons is because you might do Malacha. If you don't do Malacha, you didn't do a biblical thing. But you violated rabbinic Isra of Mukta.